Well, good evening, everybody. I think we're going to need to invest in a lighthouse on top of the steeple out there if rain keeps going like this. Thank you for being in your place, for not letting the weather stop you. Thank you for honoring God with that. Let's open in a word of prayer, and then we'll open up in a song. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your people, God. I thank you for the spirit that's here. How kind everybody is, God. I pray that you would be with us tonight in the service. Be with Jonathan as he opens your word, God. Open our hearts. Help us receive from him, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hayden.
All right, let's all stand this evening as we turn to 327, Higher Ground. 327.
Good evening, everybody. Hope everybody's nice and dry. Okay, questions for tonight. First is a church question. And I may not have made this clear, but the people in Colombo were the ones that were going around the streets, not the people up from that place in the north. But anyway, they were given a gift, remember, to rent a place. What was the purpose they're using that money for? They rented something. The what? No. They got a gift of money, and they rented something to use it for something. Yeah, it was a Bible study. Remember, they were going on the streets, sidewalks, and all that. And yep, good. There you go. Okay, another church question. Stephen Sorrell announced that he was going to release something designed for laborers. Can you name the app that he's releasing? I saw so many hands go up at the same time. Yes, My Harvest Helper. Ha ha. I make a big mistake, help me. Okay. An intensive 5-day training opportunity to prepare God's laborers for unseen challenges. This was called the Missionary Field Camp. When is it going to be held? I think I saw a brother. Yes, that's correct. Labor Day. Do I have to stamp his hand? I'll remember it if you remember it. Yeah, it's hard to deny that, yeah. Yeah, he could owe you one. His hand was almost up at the same time. Thank you, brother. This is listed under the Bible Project. Oh, this isn't the same one. Yeah, that's the wrong one. You can cash that in. Okay, last question. Darn rain, it always causes problems. Okay, a spirituality question. The first drafts of which books in the Sinhala Translation Project do we have? Jonah and Ruth, that's correct. Okay. Spirituality. Nice job. Okay, well, thank you all for reading the letters, and don't forget, keep everybody in your prayers. Hi, Pastor.
All right, let's stand again this evening as we turn to 410, Faith is the Victory. 410.
Thank you.
please be seated.
Sitting up here during missionary trivia, I can see what Pastor's talking about the competition. There's faces made. There's all kinds of stuff that happens from this point of view. That's crazy. When that second question, I think it was, that Krista got, I her hand was up from the very beginning of the question. And I was sitting there, John, please call on her. So her hand was up first. And I wasn't going to say anything. If you picked somebody else, I wasn't going to say it because, oh, there's favorites in here now. Nope, I wasn't going to say anything. But I'm telling you, it's fierce from up here. It's a different point of view from down there compared to up here. Oh, my word, it's great. It's so funny. Announcements for the week. Nursing home, Thursday night, 6 o'clock. Be there. Everyone there's been blessed so far. They're encouraged. They're excited when we're there. Be in prayer for that. If you can't go Thursday night, if you think about it, pray for it. Their souls too. They're just the same as everybody else. Their soul has value as well. And it spends eternity somewhere. And then chapel for the school on Fridays. There's open slots available. If you have time, you want to invest in the kids at the school, fill a slot. I don't really know what to talk about. I don't know, you know, what would be appropriate. There's lessons that are made that you can study and come and spend some time with the students. They enjoy it. They get to come out and meet new people or meet people that they don't really know and get to listen to God's word open to them. And then pray for Pastor as he's away. They'll be traveling back this week. Pray for them, safety as they travel. Come back with a good report. We're excited for it. And those are the announcements. Hayden, come lead us in our last song.
All right, let's all turn to 355. What a friend we have in Jesus. 355, you can stay seated.
I'm excited that I'm going to put in for some time off tonight. I'm so thankful that we have other men that are here that are able to present God's word. It's been a long 2 weeks for me, having to work and do this and that, and I'm so thankful that we have other men to do it. So Brother Jonathan, come on up and open your hearts, listen to what he has to say, and let's honor God's word. Thank you, everybody.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Well, I got a good evening out of that. So I'm like the third person to say it, so you guys were warmed up a little bit. So I want to start and tell you, I know Brother Eddie said he was thankful I'm up here. I'm thankful for him filling in and doing everything. Preparation-wise, I was stressing about having one message and having work and all that, and I had like 2 weeks to prepare. So I can't imagine doing back to back to back. So it's a blessing to have him here, and that he's not just filling in, that he's giving out God's word. Bear with me today. I'm not using the pulpit mic, so we'll see how much I move. I normally grab onto this. This is my standing point, so we'll see. But I got some volunteers, so I can't just stay up here. If you would, though, we're going to start out here. I'm going to read a small section, and we'll pray, and then we'll get into it. If you would turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And I'm just going to read one verse here, just to kind of springboard us, and it's going to be 22. So Colossians 3, verse 22, it says this, "Servants, obey in all things your master, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but with singleness of heart, fearing God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to come before you tonight. I want to thank you for everyone that's here, and thank you for everyone that was willing to brave the storm and be here, Lord. Just pray that you be with me, that your Holy Spirit be here, Lord, and moving, that I say what you want me to say, preach what you want me to preach, and also that you keep all those who weren't able to make it safe, Lord. Just ask these things in Jesus' name and pray. Amen. So in preparing for this, I have two sections of Scripture mainly that we're looking at, with a few sprinkled in there. Okay. Point one is going to be in one set of Scripture. Two and three is going to be in the other, but they go together, okay? So, I've been doing junior church. Just to give you a little background. Been doing junior church with them, and we've been going over comparing Scripture with Scripture and why that's important and what all Scripture is for, right? For doctrine, reproof, so on and so forth, okay? So, we're going to compare a little bit. Keep your place here because we're coming back. If you have a tab, use that. So, Acts chapter 11, verse 19. "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great multitude believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch." So what you have right here is, after what happened to Stephen, they go out and they're preaching, but they're scared to preach to anyone but the Jews because of what might happen to them. But there's a small group of people that are basically like missionaries, as we would consider them now. They're going out and they're preaching to others and to Gentiles. Okay, this gets back to the church in Jerusalem, and they send Barnabas to go and minister to them as well. Okay, and then in verse 23, it picks back up. It says, "Who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and was full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." So, why I wanted to go there, it's point one, is who are you? Okay? So, if you're a Christian, you say, "I'm a Christian," you say your name, "I'm Jonathan," right? Whatever it may be. But what I want to look at here is that they were known as Christians there, set apart from whatever was going on in Antioch, because of what they were doing, who they were following, and what was being said in their actions. Okay. To give you a little background, Jerusalem was known at the time for being a city of religion. Rome itself was a city of power. Alexandria was considered to be a city of intellect. Okay? Any idea what Antioch would have been? So while you're thinking about it, and I'll see if anybody has any guesses here, but Titusville here, what are we known for? We're the city, Space Coast, right? We live on the Space Coast. Our area code is even 321 as a nod to the shuttle lifting off. That didn't be what it used to be, but when we became the Space Coast, they purchased that as their area code for 321. Right? That's what the city is known for. It is known to deal with shuttle, the Space Center, all that. Antioch, anybody want to take a guess? I'm teaching junior church, so I'm used to them interacting a little bit. What's that?
Trading?
That's a good guess. Somewhat. So it was considered that Jerusalem was more of the religion area, but that's a good guess. So there was two things associated with Antioch. Business and immorality. How terrible would that be if that's what your city was known for, right? Oh yeah, I love living in Antioch. It's the most immoral place you could be. That's why I live there, right? It's terrible. Terrible, okay? That's why it was easy for them to be set apart, okay? So I asked earlier if I could get a couple volunteers, so I had some people already volunteer. It's the junior church guys, plus Raph. Do y'all want to come on up? So I've got some props for them. We can actually come right down here. We'll come right down here. All right, I gave them all job titles. Okay, I'm going to start with my coach. Coach, raise your hand. Coach, raise your hand. That's you. All right, soccer ball. I did this purposely for the Hewitts. So you are a soccer coach. You have a pump. So what are you?
Coach.
You're a coach, okay. What is your jobs as a coach?
Teach people
and make sure you have equipment, right? Okay, make sure you have equipment. He's going to teach people. Who's my mechanic? All right, you're my mechanic. What's your job?
To fix tires and help others.
Okay, fix tires and help others. All right, last person. I got a cop. Got a police officer. There you go, sir. So what is your job? Looking good, by the way.
To keep people safe.
Yep.
And uphold the law.
Uphold the law, keep people safe. Right, pretty simple, right? All right, so what are you?
A coach.
You're a coach? Yeah. What's your job? What do you do?
Teach people.
Make sure you have equipment.
Oh. Mechanic.
You're a mechanic. What do you do?
Fix tires and help others.
Fix tires and help others. All right, good job.
I'm a police officer. I keep the people safe and uphold the law.
Okay. Sounds right, right? No. Let's try again. What are you?
Christian.
Oh, you're a Christian. Okay, so you're a Christian. What's your secondary job?
A coach.
Okay.
Teach people.
Have equipment. So, what are you?
I'm a Christian.
Oh, so you're a Christian as well. Nice. Okay. What's your job?
I'm a mechanic.
You're a mechanic. Okay.
I fix tires and help others.
Nice. You might need more than the wrench to fix those tires.
I'm a Christian.
There you go.
And a police officer. And I keep people safe and uphold the law.
Awesome. Very good. Thank you, guys. Just throw this back in here. I know you wanted to keep those glasses, didn't you? The point we were trying to make, they all had a title associated with a job, right? So many of us in here have titles. We have jobs. It could even go as far as you might be a father, a mother. You could be... cook, chef, you like me working shipping, right? Whatever it is, we have jobs, we have titles, but they are underneath the title that we gain when we are saved, which is being a Christian, right? That comes first and foremost, and it comes before everything else. And that sets the tone on how we perform those jobs and duties. If you're a coach and you're not a Christian, you have a foul mouth and you're angry all the time, how effective of a coach are you going to be? Probably not very effective. Now, that being said, we do have some coaches that are yellers out there. Come on, let's go, right? But if they don't have the right heart, then they're not going to be an effective coach. Those kids are going to do what you need them to do right then and there. But when they go back home, they're not going to care anything that you just said, right? Same thing with the mechanic. You're going to change some tires, change an alternator, but your work may be lacking because it's not your car. Why do you really care? Right? You're a police officer. You uphold the law. You're wearing some aviators so that you look the part. But are you upholding the law because that's just a job, it's what I do for now? Or do you actually care about people's safety? Here at Antioch, they were able to tell them apart. Now, they would have all had jobs. It was known for business. They would all have jobs. But somehow, they were all called Christians because they would be told apart from the rest. It was a city of wickedness. They were still considered Christians for who they followed, right? They didn't fall into all the mayhem that goes on when you're in the workplace or when you're around friends maybe you shouldn't be around and things like that. They were set apart. And I think that's an interesting detail that your Bible has in there. This is where they were first called Christians. And when you do your little bit of research on Antioch, what an interesting place for that to happen. Okay, so that's point number one. So who are you? So what title takes that first place spot? Are you a manager? Are you a Christian first? Right? So who are you? Point number two, we're going to go back to Colossians. So if you saved your place there, great. If not, sorry, you got to do some more flipping. Thank you all for coming up here, by the way. I had one, but he backed out. He got a little scared. And all these go together, okay? So point number two, what you put in, okay? Simply put, if you want to think about it like this, what you put in is what's going to be what comes out, okay? Another way to think about it is sometimes the things that you don't put in is healthy as well, right? If you were to eat healthy every day, exercise, you'd probably be in pretty good shape, right? If you eat fast food all the time, and then you say, you know what? I used to run 5Ks all the time. Let me go running. From experience, I can tell you this is not a good idea. My job has me traveling. And so, thought I was eating the healthy options at places, and I was eating the healthier options, but still not healthy. So I was like, oh, this is... Even though I haven't run in probably a year, I was like, I used to run 10 miles a day. So 3 miles, easy. Not easy. Dying the next day. Shins are on fire, right? Not healthy. And I struggled the whole way. Like, if anybody was at the gym watching, like, that poor guy. He's never worked out a day in his life. But in that moment, I'm just sucking wind. I didn't care what anybody thought. I was like, I'm going to make this 3 miles. So what you put it in matters. Okay. We're going to look here, and we're going to look at a decent chunk here. We're going to go through this because I think it's important. We're going to read the first 9 verses of Colossians. It says this, Colossians 3, verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections of things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, if your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, indignant affections, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. All bad things. All bad things. I think most people would agree. If you don't agree, then you might have fit in pretty good with Antioch. But all bad things. In verse 7 it says, in the which ye also walked sometime, when ye lived in them, but now ye also put on all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blaspheme, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. So basically, your Bible's telling you, you should be in Christ. Here's all these things that you were. You should be putting this off. This is not the stuff that you should be taking in. Okay? Now, the first set of things was awful. things that we would all agree are bad. The second set of things, though, if you look there in verse 8, it says anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Those are all things we can identify a little bit with, right? Probably work around a lot of those things. Anger, who doesn't ever get angry, right? It's going to happen some, obviously. Okay. I'm going to use a lot of examples from this week because I feel like as I was studying for this, the Lord was like, I'm going to give you examples. There's at one point people were not doing what they should have done, and I was getting frustrated, right? So I'm like, we have been over this. We have done this. And I'm internally, like outside, I look fine. Internally, I'm getting frustrated. And the longer it goes on, and everybody's laughing and joking, but we're dealing with stuff that's time sensitive, and like nobody's doing what they should do, start getting mad. And you get to the point, I was getting mad because I was the only one that was mad. I'm in an endless loop. And I'm sitting here, I'm pacing, hands in the pocket, I'm like, in my head, why? Why does no one else get this? Does no one else see it? Why am I the only one that mad? This is ridiculous. Does no one else see how this is a problem? Right? My eyes get all big, right? Jonathan, you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm good. You don't look okay. We just need to get this done. Okay, yeah. Right? Frustrating. Anger happens. It's not good, right? Wrath. That's a little more serious. I didn't experience wrath this week, thankfully. Okay. Malice. Blasphemy. You start talking bad, right? But here's another one. Real easy. Filthy communication out of your mouth. I've joked up here before, but it's true. So growing up, didn't cuss. No filthy communication, right? I was the king of substitute words, right? I had all these substitute words I would say, and a lot of them were to make people laugh or myself laugh in the situation. But you really realize, like, the intent behind what I'm saying is the same thing, right? Now, the words may not be as harsh. The words may not mean exactly the same thing, but the intent is still there, okay? It's filthy communication. Easy to do, especially when you suffer from anger, wrath, malice, right? Easy. Thing that I see that your Bible does is it talks about these things which seem small, that compound, that add to the first things that it mentioned. Right? It's giving you the things, get rid of these things, and the other things will fall off. Okay? And it says, in verse 9 at the end, it says, put off the old man with his deeds. Okay? I mentioned before about being the king of substitute words, right? It's not the bad words. It's not necessarily good either. It's this gray area, right? May make me look like I'm, oh, well, Jonathan doesn't cuss. I'm gonna use an example here from when I was younger, dealing with my dad. My dad was working on our sink. And I'm going to tell you, this is where I get it from. My dad is great at fixing things to a certain point. So he will take on a project and he will fix it, which makes him confident for the next project. And this continues. Until there's a project that he knows nothing about. It's like, how hard can that be? I fixed all these other things. Okay. This one, thankfully, it was within his wheelhouse. It was fixing, it was underneath the sink, had to do some piping and different things. So he is underneath our sink in the kitchen. And he's up there and he's underneath that cabinet. And he's not like me, okay? He's tall. He's like almost 6 foot. I got my mom's height. Okay, y'all know my mom. She's listening. I'm sorry. But he's up there. He's trying to fix the pipes. And there's not enough room. So he's grabbing. He's got all this stuff laid out. And he's grabbing stuff. And he's grabbing wrenches or whatever he needs at the time, puts it back. Well, he also had cleaned underneath there. So he had some water there. Obviously, you know, it's hot. He's fixing stuff. He's, you know, drinking the water, sipping on it. He gets in a coughing spell, and he needs to grab something to drink real quick because he's coughing, right? And so he grabs what he thought was water. In the same cup he had put right next to his water to clean, he had filled up a cup about that much of bleach. Okay? Looks the same in the cup because it wasn't fully clear. So he reaches down there and grabs it, takes a swig, swallows. Okay? Terrible. Of course, instant regret. He knew, obviously, for obvious reasons, right? Not the same thing. He put in something bad. It might have looked okay when he grabbed it, put in something bad. But I remember this being a lesson for me, right? That was like, keep my stuff separated if I'm ever working, right? Like, fear to this day of drinking bleach, which is crazy. Okay, I know that's a crazy fear. All right? Had to call the CDC, be like, this is how much I drank. Is it bad? They said, no, your stomach's probably going to be upset for a while, but you'll be okay. And he was fine, okay, but didn't know that at the time. Point is, what you put in matters. It could even look good, but that content on the inside, just like I was saying, my substitute words, the intent behind them, even though it might have looked still Christian, I'm not cussing, the intent was still there. Okay, we are going to contrast that with what comes next in this chapter. We're going to pick right back up in verse 10. So hopefully you're still in Colossians. So Colossians verse 10. So sorry, chapter 3, verse 10. It says this, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." So you put off those old things, you're going to be renewed, and your image is going to be changed. Okay, and here's what it's going to be changed for. So verse 11, it says, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." So no barriers, no boundaries, no racial issues there, no free nor slave. Christ is in all. Verse 12, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." So this is going to be what you're going to put in. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." Thankfully, we have Hayden up here leading singing now, so y'all didn't have to hear me sing up here with a microphone. I will sing in the congregation. I will sing in the choir. In the choir, I will sit in the back. So I lend my voice without you having to just hear my voice. Right? But we are supposed to sing songs. We're supposed to basically put Christ first. And it gives us a list of things to put on. Sounds way better than the list of things that we're supposed to put off. Correct? I don't think anybody would disagree with that. I don't know about the holy and beloved bowels, though. That's rough. Your verbiage in your Bible sometimes. I heard Pastor mention that one time. I'm like, man, I've never thought about that. That's a weird way to put it. Right? But it means your gut. Okay, so if you want to think about it like this, so I mentioned before, I was mad just because no one else was mad. How do you think I felt right here? Right here. When you're frustrated like that, you feel it internally. Like it's ringing you out, right? It's dumb. I should have never got frustrated that way. But I did, right? Don't have that problem if you're putting your trust and your faith in Jesus and you're following Him because He's got a bigger and better plan. So by doing all those things, that's how you achieve in verse 15. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." You can put off all the old man stuff. If you don't put on and renew and put on the new man, you're not going to get this right here. So my aunt was a nurse. When people were getting over addictions and they got rid of something, smoking, drinking, whatever it is, unless they filled that gap with something else, they would go back to it. So when you're doing something new, you're getting rid of a habit, whatever it may be, you have to replace it with something else. So if it was something physical, like if it was drugs, alcohol, something along those lines, she would get them into doing stuff at the gym or running or things like that, replacing a physical thing with another physical thing that was healthy. Okay, you have to do that spiritually. I've gotten rid of this bad thing. I'm now going to replace it with something good. If you don't do that, you will go right back to the bad thing. Now, sounds easy until you really start breaking them down. I broke down the bad ones. Really, I'm going to focus Verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgiveness. Seems like the easiest thing. Yeah, I forgive you, but do you really? We can say that, but do we really forgive somebody? Yeah, I can do anything. That person wronged somebody, I'm not forgiving them. Or, my personal favorite, I can forgive, but I won't forget. Guilty of saying that one, right? That's how we as people keep ourselves safe, right? I've made this mistake, I've trusted you once, you did me wrong, I'm not going to trust you again. I'll forgive you though, I won't hold it against you, but I'm not going to do that again, I'm not going to trust you. That's 100% holding it against the person. You just lied. So now, you're back to number 9. Lie not one to another. You're right back where you started. But we forget that. So I find it funny that God knows that's the one we're going to struggle with. So he puts that little extra thing in there. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, he's telling us to forgive them. Because he knows we don't like to forgive people. It's not easy. So the Lord puts that in there. So when we read it, we're like I'm not going to forgive him. Ah, Christ forgave you. So not an easy one. That's how you know your Bible is ahead of us, though, right? Because we like to find loopholes in everything. Like, I'll do everything on there but this one. So the Lord addresses it. Now, I do want to look at something here. Romans 12. Hold your place. We're not done here. But Romans 12. Point 2 is my longest point. Because it's the hardest, probably. Because you got to change your whole thinking. So Romans chapter 12. We're just going to read here in verse 2. So Romans 12, 2. Should be familiar, but it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Second time we've seen renewing your mind or renewing your body. The Lord's trying to tell you something. He wants you to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Did a little research on this. So I like science. If y'all don't like science, sorry if this is going to bore you a little bit. My apologies. Okay. Did a little bit of research on this. So as you go through life and you go through experiences, that is how you build up defenses, right? The experiences you've had, your mind builds neural pathways that tell you what you should do and what you shouldn't do automatically without you even thinking about it. Okay. That's how we make decisions. I'm the weird kid who likes strawberry ice cream over chocolate or vanilla. Do I have anybody else in here that likes strawberry ice cream? Oh, I got a couple. I appreciate y'all. How many vanilla ice cream people are in here? Out of 3. Oh, there's less. I got a couple as well. That's rough. Chocolate ice cream? All right, I got most chocolate. All right, that's understandable. Matthew's the vanilla kid. Christopher's the chocolate kid. My mom got all 3. So my poor mom, she had to buy all 3 ice creams when we were younger having a party. But I don't care for the taste of vanilla ice cream. It's plain to me. I got to add stuff to it. So if I go to an ice cream shop and I see the 2 options are vanilla and chocolate, my decision is super easy. Don't even got to think about it. Chocolate it is. If there's 3, still easy, right? You start adding more and more flavors, it gets more complicated. You're like, wait a minute. You got banana pudding ice cream. How is that a thing? Okay. So gets more complicated. Your brain does not like that, by the way. The more options a place has actually sends distress signals to your brain because your brain likes the easy options that it's already decided through your past experiences. Okay? That's why people go through life and it seems like they're an autopilot because they are. Their brain has already made these decisions. That's why when somebody's driving and they blow through a red light, their brain was on autopilot, right? Maybe that red light was new, whatever it wasn't there before, and they just drove right through it. Your brain has made decisions for you before you even get to that point where you have to make the decision. Your brain has been conformed that way. Everything we put in, TV, music, the things we do, the things we like, what's popular, what's not popular, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, our police officer over here, what is the law, what's not the law, right? All those things that we've put in have conformed our mind to already make up decisions. So when you become saved, you're given this new information. Suddenly, evolution is not real. Wait a minute, what do you mean? Suddenly, a lot of the science, falsely so-called, doesn't make sense. The things that were important before aren't important anymore. You have a renewing of your mind, but you have to understand that there's going to be resistance there because you're forming new neural pathways. And it's equated that forming new neural pathways is just as hard to do as quitting smoking. So when someone gets saved, and a lot of times when somebody goes to quit smoking, do they do it on their own? There are those people that can go cold turkey, but most of the time, people have to have some kind of help, right? So our help is the Lord Jesus. It gives us a new handbook to follow. Okay? So what you put in. So if you're putting off the old man, what are you putting in to replace it? Point number three. Who or what do you serve? So I got three whats in here, but you could put who or what do you serve? Let me get my prop over here. I should have taken the glasses back from you. I'm going to serve anybody. I'm an old man. I only serve me what I want. That's a lie. You serve one of two things. You serve God or you serve sin. So ask the question, what do you serve? Because with that renewing of your mind, then tells you how well you've done with that. So a couple of verses in here. If you were still not done with Colossians, but if you'll turn with me, if you want to look or if you can listen, it's Romans 6:18. Romans 6:18 says this, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Well, that don't sound right. I became free from sin just to become a servant. Thing is, you're serving one or the other. So ask yourself this question. Would you rather serve sin or serve righteousness? If you're in the workplace, would you rather have a righteous boss or a sinful, angry, mean boss? Would you rather have the coach that's worldly and only cares about winning and doesn't care about the kids? Or would you rather have a coach that actually cares about your kids' well-being? Right? You can think about it in different ways, but you're serving one or the other. You don't have a choice. So those people who are like, I don't serve anybody. Lies. You're back there in verse 9 in Colossians, telling lies. So we're going to also look at verse 22 and 23. It says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law in my mind, and bringing me unto captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Basically, what's going on here, there's a war going on. I know I should do one thing. My body wants to do another. You need the renewing of your mind, right? It's a renewing of your body, too. Because everything that you do physically, how you move, how you act, starts up here. So once again, what are you putting first? We go back to that first point. If you're putting Christ and God first, and you're putting the things of God in your life, and that's what's coming out, then your actions then follow. Right? So you can tell someone by their actions. We don't believe in a work salvation, obviously, but you can tell someone's fruit by their works. Because if they follow these steps, you can see in their actions what they've done to get there. So from a spiritual side of things, you're serving sin or you're serving God. We've went over this. But I've heard this argument. Wait, so I'm saved? Salvation, grace through faith. Now I can just, I basically get out of hell free card. If you've, anybody heard that one before? Salvation gives me a get out of hell free card. I can sin and do whatever I want. My rebuttal to that is like, you've always been able to sin and do whatever you want. Like, that hasn't changed. You had that freedom from the moment you were born. So this argument of, I'm now saved, so I can now sin and do whatever I want, completely ridiculous and irrelevant. You've always been able to do that. Nothing has changed. The only thing that's changed now is now you have the power not to do that. Right? You've always had the freedom to sin. If you're saved, you now have the freedom from sin. There's a huge difference there. And you can choose, but you're still back on point one of the message if you're choosing to sin over and over and over again. Potentially even, you know, you might want to have that conversation of like, did you understand what you accepted when you accepted Jesus Christ and what that meant? So the whole get out of hell free card, I'm able to sin and do what I want. You've always have been. But now you have the freedom from that. From the physical side of things, I want to read a little bit and then we'll get into this, and this will be the last little bit here. But we're going to read the rest of Colossians, starting in verse 17. I wonder if I want to do it in 17. We'll start. It would help if I turned there. I was like, that's not where I was. 17. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God and to the Father by Him. And then it gives a few instructions here. It says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So it's giving some home life instructions there, right? The order of how God has things set up. But it goes a little further, and it's like, tells you, this is why it's still relevant today, even in the workforce. Right? So servants, verse 22, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye servants as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. What it's saying there is, you can have a job. You can have a title. Right? You work for them. You want to do your job. You want to do what God has put you there for? Do it. You're working for somebody? Work for them. Serve them. Put God first. So I had a situation arise, right? I told y'all I was getting frustrated, right? So I'm pacing back and forth. That was day one. So I'm in a station. I won't give you all the background. I don't want to get myself in too much trouble up here, although I might have already. Pastor's going to look back at all the props. But I'm in a station. We've been preparing them for almost 6 months to get ready for all this stuff. And they did up to a certain point. And then now there seems to be a lack of caring, right? Day one and two did not go well, because they realized where they were lacking. So day three, they get right, and we're starting to work and train them. So day four comes around. Everything should be better. We've trained people. We've helped people. So we've very much, like our volunteers down here, we gave them jobs. We said, okay, you're going to stand right here, and you're going to scan these packages. You're going to move them here. You're going to apply these labels. You're going to make sure it gets separated over here for all the people who have to get their packages at a certain time. And we've designated people to do certain jobs and put backups there. We are in good shape. There's supposed to be 120 people in the station. Storm rolls through the night before. A storm that I have not seen in a long time, worse than any hurricane we've had here in years. Okay. Knocked out power to multiple blocks. For 20 miles, there was no power. There was flooding because I'm in Pennsylvania and there's hills everywhere. They're not built for this. There's flooding everywhere. We go into the station. Luckily, they have power. They're like the only building that has power for like 20 miles. And we had over 40 people that didn't show up because a lot of them couldn't even get out of their houses. Chaos, right? A little less, but if you want to think about it, half the people that were supposed to be here were not. So if you want to take this church down the middle and send half of them home, our church would look pretty empty, right? That's what we were dealing with. And we have all this stuff people have ordered. If they don't get it on time, there can be money back. They get their money back, and it's bad for the company, and all this corporate stuff that's been ingrained in my mind, okay? And problem solving. Okay, we're contingency plans, and this is where we're going to put people. And that's my mind's going 100 miles an hour. This is what I'm there for. One of the managers pulls me aside. Hey, Jonathan, do you have a minute? Not really. Not at this point. Like, this is the most crucial point in time. That's what I wanted to say. But I was like, you know, what do you have going on? And my mind is like, I'm still looking. I'm pointing things and kind of putting people in the right place. But I look at him, and I see, like, man, something's really bothering this guy. So I stop what I'm doing, go over and talk with him. Come to find out, right before the storm happened, he had a doctor's appointment, found out he had pancreatic cancer. Right? He's a Christian, been out of church for a long time, and he was just starting to look to getting back into church because he's like, I think it'd be important to get my family in there. And now he's thinking in the future if he doesn't make it. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my family? They need a good church. And thankfully, there had been a church that I actually had been attending there up while I was up there. So I had some area to point him to. But he just wanted some scripture verses, and he just wanted to talk to me. Just wanted to talk about it. It's a brother in Christ. Yeah. I messed up a few times this week, putting that title first, right? I'm a manager, I'm here to do a job, over the Christian, which shouldn't happen, right? Thankfully, this time, I didn't, right? But that could have been an easy opportunity missed, right? To encourage a brethren. Give him verses. Give him some things. Give him my number so he can reach out. You know, gave him our website. Things like that. He could, you know, maybe call some people here. The Lord puts us in places to be used. And we are to serve our masters, wherever that job may be, physically and worldly, what is required of us. But we are first Christians serving God and His will. That's why I use the example up there to put it all together. You can be a coach, police officer, mechanic, but understand what your first job title is. We can have a lot of titles in the world, right? We gain a lot of titles. We as people like titles. I'm a mechanic. I'm a master mechanic. That sounds awesome. I don't even know what the difference is. But if I had to choose, I'd want to be a master mechanic. I'm a master locksmith. How do you become a master locksmith? You got to learn how to pick locks? Like, what's entailed in that? That guy's just a regular locksmith. I want to hire you. Right? We get a lot of titles and it makes us feel good. Okay? But really, the only title that ultimately matters is that Christian title, and we're putting God first. So in conclusion, very simple. What are you? Are you a Christian? What are you putting in? Is it harmful or is it God-honoring? And what or who do you serve? Do you serve God or do you serve man and sin? Something to think about as we go through our life and as we go out through our week. We're going to go to jobs. We're going to go back to our homes, whatever the case may be. God will give you opportunities to talk to people. God will give you opportunities to show His grace. The question is, will you take those opportunities? All right, Brother Eddie, I'm going to pass this back to you.
Let's all stand this evening. Listening to that, I can't help but think about our identity in Christ. What a perfect picture of what that looks like. The altar's open tonight. God spoke to your heart. Do business with Him. Maybe we failed in areas from this morning. We failed. We're failures. But we don't have to stay failures. And then tonight, our identity, who we are, that's what a Christian looks like. It's putting Christ first over everything else. Altar's open. Let's pray.